In the depths of an Atlanta forest, a clash between activists and authorities ends in tragedy. I'm Matthew Scherr, and on my new podcast, We Came to the Forest, we expose the hidden truths behind a shootout that left one activist dead and countless lives forever changed. Binge all episodes of We Came to the Forest ad-free on Wondery Plus.
Scam Factory, the explosive new true crime podcast from Wondery, exposes a multi-billion-dollar criminal empire. Every suspicious text you ignore masks a huge network of compounds where thousands are held captive and forced to scam others under the threat of death. Follow Scam Factory on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Bootleg Craig's Pirate Patreon Radio, taking your requests for the hottest Magic Tavern bonus episodes from patreon.com/magictavern. Looks like we got a caller on the line. This is PV3 from space. Go ahead, PV3.
What did you do? What was that?
Great question, caller. I'm going to hang up on you so we can get right into it. You see, patreon.com/magictavern has dozens of hilarious and informative bonus episodes starring all your friends from the land of Foon, with two new episodes added every month. Now, normally, you'd have to sign up and support the show to hear this stuff, but this week, I'm giving everyone a taste of what they've been missing. Up next, we've got Good After Foon, Foon's favorite forest-based afternoon talk show, hosted by a vampire and a bird. Take a listen, and if you laugh even once, head over to patreon.com/magictavern to hear more.
Deb Falcon.
And I am Korvath, the Unknowable.
And we're here with everything you want or don't want on an afternoon in Foon.
It's time for you to just cozy up, settle in, and have your two best friends tell you everything you need to know about what's going down in good old Foon Town.
We're located here in the middle of the forest, broadcasting to anybody in the near vicinity that can hear us.
This show's sponsored by sunlight. Sunlight, it's falling on us right now, which is a problem, which, Dave, I don't need to tell you, is a big problem for me.
Korvath, I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were. I was like, nobody can see right now the umbrella over Korvath. But that's what's happening right now.
It's that, you know me, I'm a crazy guy, and I love to have a good time in the daytime. But that's hard for me because I am a vampire. I'm a member of the Night Kingdom. I sup on blood and I feast in shadows. But after Foon, it has to happen in the afternoon. It's not called the Leaving in Foon Evening. That show was canceled.
No, that show was canceled. Now, Korvath, is your parasol handle... Is that bone?
That's bone. This is bone. This Uh-oh. My parasail is attached to my sailboat, which is in the lake just behind us. And it's really the parasail is really a specific day. It has to be very windy, like a wind lord has to be about, or it has to be hurricane time around us. And my parasol, yes, this is bone. It is from the hip of a hippogriff.
See, now, what a fun choice to use a hip bone for the handle of your parasol. You know, because if you think about it, usually you want like a long bone, but you got a real honker there that you can just grasp onto. And
no, I got the real. Yeah, I got the real shorty. I want to have it very close. I want to have it at the uncomfortable arm angle to remind myself that it needs to be above my head, because if I put it down like so, I can't see. I have to immediately. I burst into flames. Now, Deb, let me ask you something. The pedestals that you are perched upon, so that you are eye level with me, because you are a falcon.
I'm a bird.
Is this also made of bone?
Oh yes, yes, yeah.
Fantastic.
The bones of my enemies.
Ooh, so it's many bones.
It's many bones. I killed multiple mice. Removed their skulls. And then fuse them together with my own spittle to make myself this little pedestal to stand on. And you know what? I couldn't be prouder of it.
I wish you could all see these at home. I wish anybody could see us right now. We're in the middle of a forest. But these mice skulls, you can see the terror on their bones. Because normally you would need musculature and skin to show the and eyes for the eyelids to pop when they go, enough, falcon! But you can really tell that these mice died screaming.
And you can also tell because I put googly eyes on them.
That's what did these. Okay. The glare from the glare was over there, and I could not see past it. But now I can see it's just real fun googly eyes.
It's real fun googly eyes all over.
You know, today on the show, we are going to talk about all sorts of things like that. Googly eyes, I think, fall under crafts. So we will be talking crafts. We will be talking fun things to do around the home. We will be talking about the best way to dispose of the remains of your various enemies. Or it couldn't be even enemies. It might be just those who are allied to you, but in your path.
So all in all, we got a great show for you.
We got a great show for you. I don't know what dynamite is, but it's dynamite. And we are going to have a real good time.
We're going to start on a real downer, though. I'll tell you that. We're going to start on a real downer. And that is the fact that the girl that fell in the well about a week ago is still in the well.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Still? Still in that goddamn well.
When did she? Okay, she has been at this point. Okay. Okay. If I could say something right off the bat.
Please. Is that a vampire pun?
It has to be. At this point, I think she likes it in there.
Okay.
I don't think that she is trying to get out of the well at this point. She has been in there for a long time. We are, of course, everyone know that we are talking about baby Jezebeth. She went into the well because she heard a voice offering her riches untold, a.k.a. sweets and candies.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, that little dumbass is at the bottom of an empty well. And all we have seen so many efforts to get this little shit up out of that darkness and back into the bright sunshine, which, is my mortal enemy. And yet here we are. She's still down there.
I gotta be honest. We said a week ago.
A week ago.
She fell in. Yeah. So, but who knows? Can we be real? Maybe this isn't her first time in the well.
You know what? She has a tone of someone who has fallen in a well before.
Mm-hmm.
She seems to be accustomed to the acoustics of yelling for help, or as I like to say, attention, while she's at the bottom of this thing. I mean, at this point, here's what I would do, okay? If I was in this situation. If I was a little girl and I fell down a well, I would fashion a ladder out of the bones at the bottom of the well. Because there's going to be bones at the bottom. She's not the first person to fall down a well. And not all of them got out. So there's got to be people of varying or forms of varying height and bone skeleture that can be fashioned into a edifice to get up out of that thing.
So to play a demon's advocate here for a minute, to play a demon's advocate.
Could you name the demon?
Shubelpants.
Shubelpants of the all Shubelpants of.
Oh shit! Shubelpants.
Shit! Fuck! Hold on. I'm gonna. I've surrounded us with runes, so we're protected.
Oh, God.
Damn you!
Oh, what a surprise! Yes.
Okay. See you later. He might be on the show later, though. You never know who's going to pop up on Good Afternoon.
Oh, so fun.
Sometimes it's a demon that you name. Anyway, I'm sorry. So you were playing Demon's Advocate.
What if
she
fell into a boneless well?
Okay, now this presents a problem that I did not account for. Because I assumed that there were going to be bones in that well. So if she's down there and it's all boneless, then maybe I have judged her too harshly. And so, on behalf of which tree should I address this to? So this one over here? I would like to apologize to the little girl and her dumb family if I have made you sad by saying that your dumb child should not have tiptoed after the voice offering sweets and candies. But that is only if there are no bones in there. If there's bones in there, get to work.
Right. Because we can assume otherwise that she's unwell.
Okay. Is that a well pun?
Gah! Gah! Gah!
Well, to keep things on a downer.
Okay, yes.
to keep things on a downer, we have witnessed the moon above us split in half as of two nights ago, correct? We have witnessed it cleave in twain.
Oh,
and
yes.
One half has taken the shape of a lover and the other has taken the shape of its destiny. And we have all known, as is foretold in the scrolls of this of the forest, that this that this would mean that awful rain will be upon our heads and soon. Because that, of course, foretells the arriving of the Locust King. So
yes. Tip of my tongue.
Right. That's what it's always something, and it's always the Locust King.
It could be, yeah.
So I picked up this little book last night while I was on my constitutional, and it's a great little quick little read, and it's called What to Expect When You're Expecting the Locust King. And it's just a guide for first-time doomsayers and apocalypse experiencers who may not know what's going on when the foretold lord of that which feasts on all that is righteous rips the veil and returns to seek a horrifying revenge on all that is considered to be righteous. And right here, page one, I think it's a great thing. It just says lament. I think that's a great place to start because the moon is in half. Okay, ladies, the moon is in half. Gentlemen, same facts. Everyone across all borders and spectrums, the moon is in half. So it's time to lament. But Deb, I can see that you have a reaction to this page one in just big letters. It says lament.
See, now I am thinking back on the last time I was expecting the Locust King.
Sure.
And I bought this book when I was within that time period. It was like the trimester that the Locust King was arriving. And I said, I didn't crack it open.
No.
I didn't even crack it open. It just sat collecting dust. And if I had, I'm just going through all the shoulda, woulda, couldas.
Right.
Of that time. And so I'm just so glad you brought this to my attention, that this is worth it. Even if a chapter is a single word, you know, what can you do with that? Right. And I will lament.
Right. Because the second chapter is also a single word and it just says toil. That's all, just toil. And that could be toil to prepare yourself for your inevitable demise.
Sure.
Toil to resist that which has been foretold. Mm-hmm. It could be just keep working on whatever project that you've focused on, because just because a Locust King is returning doesn't mean that your life should end. You're still the person that you were before the Locust King arrived. It's just that you might not be that person for much longer because he is supposed to consume us whole and while we are wailing for the sins that we did not commit.
Feels like a moon day, am I right?
Oh, my parasol. Ow, 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 ow. Ow. I caught fire. Oh, get the marshmallows. Korvath is unknowable, but he knows one thing. That sunlight is a bitch. And the third chapter is fun. This is the one that I really focused on, which is just sleep when they sleep. And I think that's very good advice, you know? If the Locust King goes down for a little bit of the winks, then that's your opportunity to catch a few yourself, because the Locust King is probably running your ragged, you know?
And some people are going to tell you that you got to sleep train the Locust King. They're going to tell you if the Locust King is writhing and rageful and wrathing, to just
Molting.
Shut the door,
right.
Shut the door,
mm-hmm.
and go about your business.
Yes.
And that's a hard thing to do. And you know what? I'm not going to be the one to say it's right or it's wrong. I'm just going to say it's a choice. And if you want to do it, do it. But if you want to go in there and have consensual relations with the Locust King to calm him, that's also a fine choice.
That's a choice.
Just know you will carry the seed of the Locust King within your body. It will not emerge at the time you expect it to emerge. It will emerge when it wants to emerge, and therefore consume your entire body. And you then gave birth to the spawn of the Locust King, also known as the Locust Pupa.
So that's what to expect when you're expecting the Locust King. It's on sale at all bookstores and apothecaries and also various magic shops that will allow literature within. And it's by, another noted author of How to Get Through Various Armageddons. And it's by the Duchess Apocalyptica. And you can find all of her. She has a ton of reading material for all of these sort of things. She's been through the Locust King thing before, and she'll get through you through it too. So that's just fun. I just said that was fun.
She, you know what? I'm always looking for a good book. You know, I'm always looking for a good read, a good pickup. And this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. Thank you for bringing that today, Corvette.
Oh, yes, of course. And I want to remind everybody that this show is sponsored by trees. Trees. You can't have a forest without them. But if you can't see the forest, it might be because of the trees. Thanks, trees. Trees are brought to you by wood and photosynthesis. Back to you. Chuck the Squirrel?
Oh, Chuck the Squirrel. Wait, do we have a visit from Chuck the Squirrel?
Oh, well, I was going to surprise you, but I guess the rodentia is out of the bag. Ladies and gentlemen, all the way from the tree directly in front of us, please welcome our first guest today. It is your friend and mine, Chuck the Squirrel. And it's just us clapping, sir. It's just us. Chuck, yes. Welcome. You're looking fluffy. You're looking well-fed. You look ready for winter, or if that doesn't come, to continue hunting. So thank you
like
for making time.
Nuts.
What's that?
I like eating nuts.
Chuck, you son of a bitch.
Again.
I like eating nuts and storing nuts in my house.
Okay, Chuck, get the fuck out of here.
Right, thanks for
that was Chuck the Squirrel, everybody. You need any if you get it.
We can't keep having him back on. I got to be honest, even if he wants to be,
right.
Like it's like pulling teeth over.
He's
here.
Out of ideas. We can be honest. He's run out of stuff to talk about. The first time he was on, he was chock full of nuts, but now I think it's mixed at this point. It's, His ideas are cash, Jude.
Oh.
My parasol!
Oh, no. God, keep it up, Corvette.
It's
keep
at a it bad up. Arm angle. I really should have used a bigger bone.
Oh, we're gonna need a bigger bone. Speaking of bones.
Go on.
We have another guest with us here today, and they are a bone advocate. Now, you might be thinking, like, what is that? I also have that same question. So here to answer it is Frank Femer. Frank!
Hello! So good to see you. Thank you so much for having me here today. I'm so appreciative.
We're so happy you're here, Frank.
Are you a bone?
Well, you know, I am made up of bones, as many people are made up of bones. Many things are made up of bones. And I think the big issue is when people believe that they have the right to take the bones of other things and use it for their own benefit. And that's what I'm here to speak on behalf of, because honestly, it's just not appropriate.
Yeah.
It's not funny. I'm not laughing. No one's laughing. And it's not funny at all. It's not a funny issue at all. Okay, well, you're right. You are laughing, but you shouldn't be laughing. It's not funny.
Now, I see your point, of course. But if you are going to take bones away from us as use in a utilitarian form, I would ask what you have as a bone substitute.
Good call.
That I feel about any object, whether bone or otherwise, is before you take it, you need to ask permission. So you need to go up to that item and say, are you comfortable with me using you for something I want to do? And honestly, if you ask and you listen very carefully, you'll hear the answer. But what happens a lot of the time, and I'm sure that you know this, did you ask? Did you ask for that perch? Did you ask for that holder on that umbrella? Did you ask?
No, I'll tell you what. They asked for it. Those goddamn mice, these goddamn mice asked for it.
This is a great point, Deb. If you don't ask, but they ask for it, does that count as you asking for it?
Ask not what your bones can do for you.
Now, I recognize that quote. That quote is from the 55th president of the forest, Jonk Onf Kenadut.
Yes, Jonk Onk Kenadoof.
Jonk Onk Kenadoof. And that was in his speech not long after he gave a speech declaring that they were going to put a man on the moon and split it in half. And at the time, there was the agency that was in charge of such celestial endeavors had no plans to do anything of that nature. So when he said, by the end of this forest cycle, we will put... That's not what the... let me see if I can do his voice. Well, this should be a journey. at the end of this forest cycle, we will put a man on the moon and split it in half. And everybody was very surprised. And unfortunately for us, it worked. But fortunately for him and his policymaking, it worked.
Right. We call that a win-win.
We call that a win-win. Because not every win has to be fortunate. So I guess to your point, Frank, no, I didn't ask. And no, I didn't listen. But I am willing to.
Yeah, you got a phone before you bone, right?
Thank you. That is what we have always been saying from the beginning. You have to phone before you bone, and I appreciate you saying it, and it's not just about the words, it's also about the actions.
Where do you stand on well bones?
On well bones?
Yeah.
I think that if there's a bone in a well, then you have to leave the person in that well for 2 weeks to figure out what to do with it, and then either they die or they can decide if they want to come out.
Thank you. It sounds like she's got another week. She's got another week.
Leave her down there and let her figure it out.
Now, well, that girl that said that's a dumb girl, right? She's a dumb girl.
Oh, yeah.
She's a stupid little girl. That's a different situation. Sounds like a stupid girl.
Just because you're a kid doesn't mean you shouldn't know not to phone down a well.
Nope.
Now, let's all remember, everybody out there listening to Good Afternoon, remember to phone before you bone this holiday season, or any season for that matter.
Yep.
And I see, Frank, to remind us all of this, you have brought some merch.
Yep.
There are some fun t-shirts here that say phone before you bone.
Mm-hmm.
And these come in sizes from, I see they are from brownie to undying creature at the edges of reality. So that's fun. Thank you for thinking of our sizes.
Thank you.
And they also come in these fun mugs. Now, I have blood. I have blood in this mug right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to ask blood if I want to drink it before I drink it, right? I can just...
No.
Okay, great. Okay. No. Then down the hatch, I'll be using my phone before you bone mug. And I'll be thanking you for giving me this great gift.
Giant foam bones, too. I got them on both my wings. I got two wings sticking straight up in these foam bones.
There's also, for anybody interested, there are some metal, there's some chrome bones here that are super fun. So you can use these if you have a server, you can use Google Bone, which is just a bone with 1,000 zeros after it. That's just really to annoy people who do math. You've really thought of everything, so we really appreciate that.
Thank you. It's half about the message, half about the merch. I've always said that.
And Frank Zafimer, everyone.
Thanks for the applause. People normally get applause when they leave. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I keep my parasol in the crook of my neck so I can applaud. Thank you so much.
Are you trying to just rub it in now?
Hmm?
The parasol.
Thank you so much, Frank Zafimer, for
Frank.
Coming out.
Thank you once again.
What a treat it was to have him on. Now, Frank is going to stand awkwardly off to the side while our next guest gets ready. And that is... No, not you, Chuck. No.
Chuck, please, God, no. Chuck,
unless you have something else besides nuts to talk about, you're not going to get any airtime.
Leaves?
Okay.
Leaves?
What about it? What about them?
They keep me warm.
Get the fuck out of here.
Chuck, I swear to fucking God.
Nuts, then leaves. I wish I wish he would just have leaves.
Ha 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 You know what, Korvath? You are a gift to me. You are a gift, and every day is a gift, and which is why I want to take a quick moment to talk about some hot gifts this season. A gift for every occasion.
I say gifts.
You say gift?
I say gifts.
I sometimes say gift, and I sometimes say gaffed.
Oh, that's fun. Sometimes I say JPEG.
JPEG?
Yeah, I get confused.
Is it umbop?
Yeah.
Is that unit of measurement?
Yep. How many umbops in a JPEG? Once that's question solved, then the sun becomes blood.
I'm pretty sure it's a quibby.
Is it? Oh, okay. Yeah, and that's just 10 minutes that you'll never get back. But there's a lot of those.
Yes, exactly.
Crypto?
No.
Chuck.
Absolutely not. Don't, Chuck. I would rather you come on and talk about nuts and leaves than talk about crypto, which is just, I already know. Okay, you know what? Chuck, come on in.
Yeah?
What's crypto?
It's a place where you sleep.
Get the fuck away from me.
Get the fuck out of here,
Chuck. Go stand next to Frank.
Oh, my God. Choke on a foam bone.
You were saying that you were having some gift ideas.
Oh, just trying to think, because sometimes it is so hard to think of what to get for someone. You know, that special person in your life, and I thought that we could showcase and go back and forth and think of some fun gifts. So I have a ghoul in my life that I adore. Thank you. And just one of my best ghoul friends. And I'm thinking, what would they want? What is a perfect gift for a ghoul? And I'll tell you what it is. It's a pineapple.
Okay. I did not see that coming. And maybe that's me for having preconceived notions about ghouls. But I have to know how you came to the conclusion that the best thing for your ghoul was a pineapple.
So, ghouls are often misunderstood. And so is a pineapple. But also a pineapple is a symbol of welcoming. So to kind of like most ghouls feel unwelcome, they kind of haunt about. But if you bring a pineapple, you're showing that like a little bit of prickliness, a little bit of sweetness inside. You're welcome in my home. And then we make smoothies together. So it's a little of an invitation to spend some time together with your ghoul.
That's wonderful because you can welcome them in. Usually they're skulking about a cemetery or like a spooky mansion. They might be haunting in an alley looking for sometimes victims, sometimes companionship. So to extend them a pineapple, something that represents them as well as anything else, I think. They're prickly, but inside maybe a sweet center, I think is a wonderful gift. I was also thinking of a gift to get someone in my life. And I know many gargoyles. So for those of you who are not familiar with a gargoyle, think of an angel, but like cool.
Right.
And that's a gargoyle because it's a cool angel. There's no halo. They don't want to talk to you about spirituality. Mm-hmm. They're just basically made of leather and they got big wings and fangs, but not like vampire fangs, like gargoyle fangs. So what do you get the gargoyle that has everything? I ask myself.
Good question.
And that answer is always meat. Any meat, it doesn't matter. You can get it off the floor. You can hand it to them raw. You can cook it. You can. It can be alive. It can no longer be alive. As long as you have, as long as it is in the quantity of big hunks, then you're going to make a gargoyle a very happy thing that turns into stone during the daytime.
That's wonderful. That's a wonderful, and I'm so glad that you're taking such good care of your gargoyles in your life.
When we're in the night, we who walk the Night Kingdom. Although, you know, I am a day owl. You know me. I'm up with the moon.
Is it because you're such a hoot?
Go on, get my parasol. I have to find a way. Excuse me, Frank. Do you have any bones that I can affix to this hippogriff hip?
Oh my god, stop it. It's becoming disrespectful.
I was asking so that I can ask the bone if I can utilize it for a longer umbrella
handle.
Okay,
I thought you were making fun of me.
I would never. A guest, the only guest I make fun of is Chuck.
You were kind of making fun of that girl in the well.
She's not a guest.
She's not a guest.
Unless, did we book her?
Not yet. Not until she gets out of that goddamn well.
That's right. She has to earn her place on Good Afternoon. She can't just stay down there and hope we show up to her.
If well, she well, climbs well. Out of that well, drags her body to this forest, I will consider having her on as a guest.
And it has to be the first thing she does.
Mm.
No water, no food.
No,
I don't
no.
want her to talk to her family. No. I don't want her to thank her rescuers if there are any. Mm-mm. I want her to get over the lip of that well and crawl to me like a ghost.
Yeah, if you can hear us.
If she needs water after coming out of that well, that's ridiculous. She
that's a great point.
That's true. Good point,
that
Frank.
That is a great point.
The one thing she's got is water. That's the one thing. I mean, come on.
Yeah, she must, she'd be sick of it by that point. I think if anything, she'd be hydrophobic.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone remember those things. We have pineapple. The best things for gifts this season, and I think honestly any season, pineapples right. and meat.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, go ahead. You
I will also
say,
yeah, no, I wanted to also mention that the dual function of the pineapple as okay. well
is, it's a theme.
I can't help it, is the fact that if your ghoul turns bad, you can cut open the pineapple and use the enzymes in it to dissolve your ghoul.
That's helpful. That's very mm-hmm. helpful.
That and is a little bit of an afterlife hack.
So there you go. That's the acid. So skip the salt and skip the fat and just go right to the acid.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we also want to remind everybody out there that this episode of Good Afternoon is sponsored by the Pineapples and Meat Council. Two great tastes that you really only have on vacation. Pineapples and meat.
It's my favorite pizza toppings.
The fuck out of my face.
Oh my God.
Everything you say is infuriating. I try not to...
We're live, Chuck. Chuck, we are live.
I know.
You son of a bitch.
It's the only thing about me that's live. I'm a vampire.
Oh, Corvette.
Our next guest is someone who is concerned not just about gift giving and bone etiquette, but also the general safety of the people of this general region. Mm-hmm. He's here to talk to you about an issue that is near and dear to his heart. Much like the ribcage is close to the heart. See that as a transition uniting Frank the Femur's bone interests and this current segue into a guest introduction.
You're Ladies explaining it all of it out loud.
Oh, I read it off this index card that I wrote and I forgot to put it in parentheticals.
Mm-hmm.
They told me not to read it. Anyway, I'm going to crumple that up, throw it on the ground. Because I don't care about litter. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome local peace officer, Constable Valor.
Thank you for having me. Yay. Thank you for having me. I'm here today to talk about an issue that's very close to my heart. You see, in
your ribcage?
Who knew it would come back so soon?
Go on. I should have left it, but I couldn't resist.
in my small town of Dimbleshire, we've had a rash of griffin attacks. So I felt it was my duty as a constable to do something about it. So I've been talking to all the youths in town and letting them know that how to act properly and safely around griffins to make sure that they are not hurt in any way. And we're starting a program, and we're going to start taking it from town to town, and it's called Know You Griffint. And that way people know how not to behave around griffins. It's a little play on words to help them remember.
See, now, is that one of the tricks is to just say no to the griffin? Is that one of the things that you're recommending?
I do recommend starting by trying to have a conversation with the griffin. For those who don't know, a griffin has a lion's body and an eagle's head. But some griffins have their two front legs. Sometimes they're lion's legs, and sometimes they're the talons of a giant eagle as well.
Sure.
So, you're dealing with different kinds of griffins, and it's really important that you open a dialogue first. Now, most likely, they're going to look at you with their terrifying, beady eyes and decide to eat you anyway. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I highly recommend that you get as small as you can. That means put any extremities, kind of ball up, get down on the ground here. I can demonstrate for you right now. Just ball up like this. Can everyone see me?
Yeah, barely, because you're so small and you're so close to the ground.
Okay, great. Yeah, so if you just form a ball with your own body, you're less likely to be eaten alive by a griffin.
See, now I find that surprising. Because, really? From the end, I am not the expert. I mean, I am a falcon, but a bird of a different talon. Sure. But I see that, and immediately my falcon sense says, nugget.
Yeah. Well, see, Deb, here's the thing about griffins. They tend to sense movement. So, Deb, thank you for bringing that up. Now, if you are moving your wing, flapping it up and down, they might bite at that wing. Whereas if you tuck it in close to your body, they're like, well, that's just a rock. And they might even say that out loud. Sometimes you'll hear griffins walk around going, that's a rock, that's a rock. Everything around me is rocks. And then something moves and they try to eat it.
So they're very food motivated, but they are fooled by a spherical presentation.
Yes, and being very still is also helpful. And they also like to announce everything that they see all the time. They go, there's a stream, there's a rock, that's a human-shaped rock, that's a mouse-shaped rock. And then as soon as that mouse moves, they'll gobble it right down. So you've got to remember the three rules. Try to open a dialogue. Mm-hmm. Get as small as you can. Mm-hmm. And if those things don't work, cast an ice spell.
Are they particularly susceptible to ice spells as opposed to a fire spell, a lightning spell, an eldritch spell, blood magic? I have a particular interest in that one. Mayhaps some necromancy or dark arts that call upon undying beings on the edges of reality.
Or zapping them.
You zap them?
You can zip them. You can use fire and eldritch and all that kinds of magic like you're saying. And I hear what you're saying. But the ice is a sure fire. You know, some griffins are going to be able to breathe fire. And they're not going to care that you hit them with a fire spell because they're immune to that. But if you fire ice at a griffin, and not at the griffin, but directly in front of or beneath the griffin, they'll slide right away. And as soon as you're out, if they slide away, and if you're out of their immediate field of vision, they're just going to go, oh, I guess that rock got away.
So it's not even freezing them as an active physical repellent. It is tricking them so that they do not see you. Their attacks are based on visual acuity.
Exactly. So it's about putting a distance between yourself and the griffin. And that's why I started Know You Griffin. That way people remember, one, open a dialogue. Two, get as small as you can. And if they start pecking at you, even when you're as small as you can, just shoot some ice underneath them.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. If you feel that you are in an area that is particularly susceptible to griffin attacks or griffin-related violence, and you need to get those three steps sharpened up, like the talons of your aggressors, look into some classes that help you to communicate better, start to find ways to shrink your body, whether it be permanently or on a temporary basis. And then, of course, learn some magic. Go fucking learn something. Go figure out how to do some cryomancy.
And if you're a particularly stupid little girl, I recommend just hiding at the bottom of a well.
Got her.
We've got good news for you.
Yeah, dude, well, there's one person who's super safe, and she's the county dumbass.
Now, I have a question. What is attracting these griffins? What can we be doing? Like, prevention seems like also maybe the negative one step here that we're not talking about, you know?
Is it bones? Is it like Frank's?
Is it all our bones? Is it Frank's bones?
Do they smell bones and then crave bone?
Yeah, in my town, a lot of people eat their food and then just throw their bones out onto the ground. I'm really sorry to admit that, Frank, but wasteful. You know, it is ridiculous, and we've tried to curtail the bones being thrown out the windows, but people are like, it's our tradition. It's what we've always, it's the way we've always done it. And then it's very difficult to change those mindsets when people assume they've lived that way their whole lives, you know?
Yeah, they subscribe by bon appetit.
Absolutely. Where I was raised before I was turned to the darkness of the Night Kingdom, we were also very loose goose, as it were, with bones. And often when we were done eating our meats, we would throw the bones on the ground of various dark doorways and thieves' dens, which were also located where many choirs and musical groups were assembled. So there was one part of my particular city that was known for bones, thugs, and harmony.
Mm. Was it near the crossroads?
I'll see you there.
Good.
You won't be lonely. I miss my Uncle Charles.
We all miss our Uncle Charles. This segment has been brought to you by mulch. Mulch. What if trees were mushy and smelled bad? You okay, Corvath?
Sorry, I just thought about why mulch is just fucking mushy trees. That's wild. That's really
mushy
wild.
Trees.
It's just mushy trees that you
I'm
use.
Sorry. I'm sorry, but we're not gonna, our segment isn't going to get bumped again, is it?
No.
No, I guess not.
We need to talk about our girl.
We need to talk about our girl.
We need to talk about our girl.
Look, my name is
Can
Cynthia.
We get Chuck back out?
Yeah, maybe he wants to talk more about crypto. Or maybe he's wearing a t-shirt that says NFNT on it. He seems really excited about it.
I had a crypto once, and let me tell you, having an orgasm under a church is not fun.
Well,
it's not.
I mean, in theory, it doesn't sound like it would be that bad, but I will take your word for it.
In fact, it was the night that our baby girl was actually conceived.
Okay, I guess we'll have to introduce you because you're really forcing yourself in here, but
could be thrilled you're up here.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Conception story.
We've been bumped for the last 4 days, so I am sorry, but we have to get our message out there.
Great. Okay. The parents of baby Jezebeth that is fallen in the well. So please, let's welcome the parents of the dumb girl.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm Cynthia Powergrab.
Boo!
Thank you. And we are just wanted to say, all we ask is please... leave her in the well for one more week. We just ask that you please not take her out of the well, and we've been trying to come on here to make that announcement. Please.
Why are you trying to get her out of the well? Why are you trying to get her out of the well?
This is a Good Afternoon exclusive. Our assumptions that the parents wanted their kid out of the well? Unfounded.
Sleep
now,
right in there.
Well, it turns out we shouldn't have bumped them. They were more interesting than I thought. Now, we here at the Good Afternoon advocate mm-hmm. for this dumb baby to educate herself in the ways of solving her own problems and get out of the well under her own reconnaissance. Why do you want your little girl to stay in the well?
I can't.
It's okay.
But you have to answer.
I'm sorry. It's
rude if you don't answer my question.
You're right.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
so
interview etiquette.
I'm so sorry. Well,
I'm not going to like turn into a bat and fly away or anything.
The thing is, okay, that we believe she's happier down there, mm-hmm. and we're also happier with her mm-hmm. down there.
Yes,
isn't that right, sweetie?
Yes, when you have a baby, you have this impression that you're going to want to spend every living waking moment with that child. And I know that you wouldn't necessarily understand that as a vampire.
I can't
but
have kids.
Yes, and I guess from our point of view, it's just we need a break. We need. A break, and if it's a well, if it's her getting lost, if it's her running away, we don't actually care. We just need a little time to ourselves to refine what we had initially with each other.
This just in, coming just in, I have to say we've gotten a report from the sky that the baby's hand has come out of the well. The baby is grasping.
Lift a finger. One finger. If you lift up one finger at a time, one, two, three, four, just lift each finger and and then the rest of the hand will drop. You don't have to even pull up the
whole
hand.
Holy shit, somebody did that. Somebody lifted all the fingers and the baby dropped back down into the well.
One of the county workers heard you and say they took the baby's fingers off the wall and let it fall. And I get they're getting time and a half, so they don't want that thing to come out.
Thank you so much. Oh, we can finally go on that trip to Migas that we've always talked
about.
Yes.
Yes.
I love you.
I love you too. Again, all we ask is don't bring our baby back home.
Please, Jezebeth, whatever you do, know that we're thinking about you and how far away you are and hoping that you stay that far away.
A heartwarming message from the parents of Jezebeth, a dumb girl who almost got out of the well, but then, through the power of parental, some might argue selfishness, was thrown back in. Folks, I have to say, this has been one of my favorite episodes of Good Afternoons that we have ever done.
We've learned
a lot today about bone consent. Mm-hmm. We've learned about griffin safety. We hate Chuck. And we figured out that people need some time to themselves, even when they have a little person that is child status just waddling around. And,
you know, remind me next time. I forgot to ask Frank if it is safer if you cover the bone before you grab it.
Oh, we should. And we'll have Frank back. So, folks, look forward to that. We've got to have Frank back to see if we should cover up the bone before, whether it's a busy bone or a crazy bone. Or any of the bones that maybe a bone drawn by Jeff Smith. We will all know that we will eventually have all of your bone-related information. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in or walking by while we were doing Good Afternoon. I'm Corvath, the Unknowable.
I'm Deb Falcon. And this has been Good Afternoon.
Good luck with the Locust King, everybody.
You sure won't hear anything like that on the main feed. Hello from the Magic Tavern is an independent production made possible by supporters of the Magic Tavern Patreon. Patreon supporters get 2 new bonus episodes, like this one, each month, and a bunch are already waiting there for you, like one where Flower talks to her cousin, also named Flower, a Usador and Spintaxed holiday special, and Arnie, Chunt, and Usador exploring their friendship via slam books. You also get ad-free versions of the main show, including current episodes and all the back catalog, and most of the previous spin-off series are on the Patreon now, too. Earth Games, all 3 seasons of Offices and Bosses, I Am Spintax, there are a lot of them, like there's more than 80 episodes on there. And in the next couple months, Usador's Fetching Quest, Hey Tavern Tavern, and Season 2 of Masters of Mayhem are coming to the Patreon to complete the set. Before you know it, Patreon will be the one-stop shop for everything Magic Tavern, and that's all in addition to the 2 new bonus episodes added every single month. Plus, you get intros with a pleasantly light narrative thread starring me and PV3. To learn more and become a patron, visit patreon.com/magictavern. I write credits. Deb Falcon was played by Brooke Bright. Corvath the Unknowable was played by Kevin Serretta. Kevin was a writer on Mystery Science Theater 3000 Season 13. The new season and classic episodes are available at www.gizmoplex.com. Frank Femer and Ricky Powergrab Llewellyn were played by Becca Barish. Follow Becca on Twitter at Becca Barish. Chuck the Squirrel, Constable Valor, and Cynthia Powergrab were played by Matt Young. Special appearance by Shubblepants the Demon as himself. This episode was produced by Matt Young. Post-production coordination by Garrett Schultz. Special assistance by Ryan DiGiorgi. This episode was edited by Garrett Schultz. Logo by Allard Laban. We'll be back again next week with the regular show, but who knows when Bootleg Craig might appear again. I mean, I don't. No one does, really. I mean, that's sort of the point. If you want to hear the episodes, you should just go join the Patreon. Bye!
At 24, I lost my narrative, or rather it was stolen from me. And the Monica Lewinsky that my friends and family knew was usurped by false narratives, callous jokes, and politics.
I would define reclaiming as to take back what was yours. Something you possess is lost or stolen, and ultimately you triumph in finding it again. So I think listeners can expect me to be chatting with folks, both recognizable and unrecognizable names, about the way that people have navigated roads to triumph. My hope is that people will finish an episode of Reclaiming and feel like they filled their tank up. They connected with the people that I'm talking to and leave with maybe some nuggets that help them feel a little more hopeful. Follow Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Reclaiming early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.